You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That was a very tight game early on. If you missed it, the Denver Nuggets led early, but the Timberwolves end up pulling out the win 112-104. And we're going to go in depth and discuss this because we talk and cover all things Timberwolves. That's kind of the premise of this entire show. And so Mitch and I are going to do this on a Thursday. Mitch, usually coming in on Monday. Now he's gracing us with his presence late in the week. Thanks for coming on, Mitch.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I figured that it would be nice to switch it up, and instead of starting the week off on a good note, we're gonna end the later part of the week on a good note.
We're gonna end strong this week. All right. So first of all, if you haven't checked it out, there's lots of content on the transpiring of the win. We had a recap. Dane Moore had a nice piece go up on zonecoverage.com. Go ahead and check out all that stuff on zonecoverage.com. But we should probably go first of all in saying that this was a scary game right away. 17 points in the first quarter. There was not a lot of confidence. When I was watching this game, I was a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. It looked like Jokic was really giving it to Towns, really handing it to Towns, and he seemed to be in control of the game. The Nuggets seemed to have the pace of the game right where they wanted it. And then there was an explosion in the second quarter where the Wolves scored 33 points, and they went into halftime only down two. It was a 52-50 game going into the half. And then you had in the third quarter, and I know I'm breaking this down a little bit quarter by quarter, but in case you didn't see it, I want you to know in the third quarter, the Timberwolves and the Nuggets both picked it up, and you had the Timberwolves playing up-tempo pace a little bit. They were picking it up. They were scoring a lot better, but then the Nuggets seemed to be right there with them and match that, which is something that impressed me. And then in the fourth quarter, 32-20, the Timberwolves outscored the Nuggets. What were your impressions especially heading into that second quarter after only posting 17 points in the first quarter? What were your impressions of this game early on?
You know, it kind of seemed like, you know, Minnesota was heading into this road game, and they were very flat, like kind of like you mentioned early on, and it kind of seemed like, you know, Denver was gonna to some extent run away with it early, and you know, it was a nice response by Minnesota. That's always a good thing to see, especially when you are playing on the road and you're playing a divisional opponent as well. But you know, it was nice to, you know, have Minnesota bounce back in the way they did it as well. And it's just like you said, kind of, you know, seeing them play little up pace basketball is always fun to watch. You know, it's not something that we're necessarily accustomed to seeing with Minnesota. They generally tend to play a little slower. But you know, it was a fun game, and you know, it did seem like Denver was going to some extent, you know, kind of handle this game a little bit early on. But you know, Minnesota, you know, battled back, and they never gave up. And like Tibbs always says, and you know, even Jimmy and Carl say sometimes, you know, it's a 48-minute game, and they definitely treated it as such, and they, you know, they definitely didn't give up, which is a great sign.
All right, there are a lot of factors in this game that I want to touch on. First, the first thing I wanted to note was Jimmy Butler and Jeff Teague really came on strong at the end of that game. You saw the scoring really hit an uptick in that third quarter, and then the Wolves didn't slow down as they started to really outpace the Nuggets in the fourth quarter. It looked for a good majority of that game that Jeff Teague was going to get outplayed by Jamal Murray, and he did end up with 30 points, and he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, so Jamal Murray had a great game. He looked fantastic, shot 10 of 17, 58% from the field. He hit 5 of his 6 three-pointers, so Jamal Murray had a great game, but it looked like he was outclassing Jeff Teague for the first half of that game, and Jeff Teague finished really well, had 16 points, 8 assists. I thought it was important for Jeff Teague to bounce back in the second half of that game, especially because they're on this road trip where they're at Denver, then they're going to be at Phoenix, and then on Christmas Day they're going to be at LA playing the Lakers. So I thought it was important. You need, when you're on a road trip, especially when you're on a West Coast road trip and you're more of a Midwestern team and you're pretty far from home and you're bouncing all over the place and you're playing tough teams, you need to have all of your starters there. And so him bouncing back in that second half, I thought was a really nice way to start out this road trip.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I agree with you that, you know, it did seem like he was struggling, or that, you know, that he was getting basically outplayed in the first half. And, you know, for him to, you know, kind of explode for 10 points in that third quarter, going 4 or 5 shooting, I mean, that's what Minnesota needs. And they need that other option. And, you know, that was a big reason, you know, as much as, you know, Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns were, and Jamal Crawford to some extent as well, as big as they were in this game, you know, especially in the second half, you know, Jeff Teague did play a key role in that as well. I mean, in that third quarter, to try and, you know, keep Minnesota in it and, you know, help them battle back in the second half. So, it's a good response and from Teague to see that from him. It's also, you know, obviously a great thing for Minnesota to have another option like that. You know, when Jeff Teague is playing like that, it makes Minnesota, you know, that much tougher to guard, because, you know, they can attack you from basically anywhere on the floor. So, it was great, you know, great to see him play the way he did. And I mean, you know, I mentioned this before, but he had 10 points in the third quarter, but he also had 4 assists in that quarter as well. So it was a good game from him, but especially that third quarter was big, and that's definitely what Minnesota needed.
How comforting is it for you, just as somebody who covers the Timberwolves game in, game out, to know that there's going to be a point in the game where Jimmy Butler takes over? And he even had a little bit of a slow start in the beginning, and he finished with the 25 points and the 4 assists and 2 steals. He had a point in that second half where he really started to light it up. I'm blanking. I think it was near that third quarter where he started to really, it really felt like he was starting to knock down just about every shot that he was taking. And he did get to the line for eight shots from the charity stripe, went hit all of them, so that was big too, getting to the free throw line. He and Jeff Teague did a good job of that, not only getting to the line, but knocking down all their free throws. How, now that we're far enough into December where I think we can say this is just the way it's probably going to be for the rest of the season, where Jimmy Butler, there's a point where he really turns it up and he's going to finish with about 25 points almost every darn night here. How important that is that, and how relieving is it to have a guy on the Timberwolves like that so consistent? I think the first time since maybe Kevin Garnett, I would say.
Right, yeah, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, the last couple of years, we've, you know, obviously you've had the likes of Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, but the problem with them is they, especially Wiggins, I guess, he's had a problem with consistency and staying consistent, you know, being on his A game consistently throughout a year. And, you know, that's something that, you know, Jimmy Butler is a player that Andrew Wiggins could strive to be. I know that everybody would like, obviously, Jimmy Butler and to play to his caliber, but, you know, the way he is night in and night out, like you mentioned, just him being so consistent, and, you know, obviously as the game progresses, you want your best player to, you know, continue to do better and to, you know, improve as the game's going on, and that's exactly what Jimmy Butler is. I mean, you basically wait around. I mean, obviously he'll drop his, you know, 10, 15 points in the first, you know, first half or first three quarters. But then it seems like, you know, once that fourth quarter hits, he turns it to another level. And that, you know, that's what the great players do. And that's, you know, that's something that, you know, especially in the last month and in December here, you know, he's really done a great job of that. And, you know, that's going to continue to be key for Minnesota. That's huge for Minnesota. And even if, you know, Jimmy Butler isn't, you know, maybe one game where he's not, you know, playing his best in the fourth quarter, you still have, you know, Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, and Jamal Crawford, like he's been playing the last couple of games. You have those weapons around him that if he is having an off game, you know, they can still turn it up in the fourth quarter and then the second half if they need to. And, you know, that's definitely what they did last night, and that's what we've seen a lot recently, specifically from Jimmy Butler, is him turning it on as the game goes on. But, no, that's great. That's, you know, that's what Minnesota's really lacked. Like you said, since the KG era, so that, you know, he's, you know, his impact on the team so far this year, I think, you know, it maybe was a little overlooked, or maybe it was a little, you know, he kind of flew under the radar, you know, the first month of the season, but, you know, it's really all starting to come out now, and it's everyone's starting to see exactly, you know, if they weren't familiar with Jimmy Butler, who Jimmy Butler is, and, you know, he's been huge so far, and that's, you know, that's going to be very, very important, as, you know, in the middle of the season here and as the season progresses, that's for sure.
We're going to get to Andrew Wiggins. We're going to get to Jamal Crawford. Takeaways from this game, as well as Mitch's love-hate segment of the podcast. But first, I wanted to talk with you guys about MyBookie. Bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the run around when you ask for a payout? Sign up at MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin, which I've heard, I'm not a stock guy, but I've heard it's been the hot commodity here, is what people are telling me. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the bowl games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup, as well as live game betting on all the NFL and bowl games. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use my promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate your offer. Again, promo code LOCKEDONNBA. And just to prove that I wouldn't recommend a site I wouldn't use, I'm placing bets. I actually have Oklahoma State over Virginia Tech is one of the bets I'm making, and that's all going down, one of my bowl bets, that is. I also have some NFL bets. That's all going down on MyBookie. It's the only site I use. Again, MyBookie, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Wiggins was one of the guys when I was talking to the host of the Locked On Nuggets, Adam Mattis. He was one of the guys that he was looking to maybe have a night. He was one of the players on the Timberwolves that Adam was a little worried about if the Timberwolves were going to win this game because of what he did against them last year. Here, Mitch, here are some of the stats from last year in the four times that the Timberwolves played the Nuggets. Andrew Wiggins shot 53% from the field, 50% from three, and he averaged 28.8 points per game in those four games. Last night, he had 7 points, shot 25%, and didn't nail either of the 2 3-pointers he made. When you're looking at this game, and not only Timberwolves fans, not only Timberwolves writers and analysts and show hosts, when they're looking to this game as one of the games to pull Wiggins out of this slump, and he puts up 7 points and shoots awful, is it gone from more than just a shooting slump, more than just a bad spree of games for Wiggins, where this is now poor offense has now become maybe, unfortunately, a consistent trend? Or is that jumping the gun too quickly?
You know, it's definitely, you know, getting to the point, and it maybe is already for some people at the point where it, you know, it is getting concerning with Wiggins. I mean, the whole month of December, for sure, you know, he struggled quite a bit from really everywhere on the floor, offensively specifically. But you know, it is really concerning, and I don't know necessarily what it stems from. I don't know if it's mechanics wise. I know Dane Moore was tweeting some stuff on Twitter last night of you know, some gifs of Wiggins' shot, you know, kind of saying that, you know, his form appears to be a little off. So it might be something as simple as mechanics, but, you know, the other thing you look to is, you know, how is he, you know, gelling with Jimmy Butler and, you know, the new additions that the Wolves have added this year. And maybe that's playing some, you know, into it as well. And, you know, Wiggins has, ever since the Wolves drafted Wiggins, he's been, you know, kind of that guy that they've looked at as the primary, you know, scorer, with, alongside Towns, of course. But, you know, he's been in that role, and now, you know, with him taking kind of a step back with Jimmy coming in and kind of sharing that load, it's kind of concerning if, you know, I wonder if that is wearing on him, and if that is affecting him. And, you know, that's something that is very concerning. It started off with, you know, a couple games that you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe he'll turn things around, and then you have a good game and you kind of forget about it a little bit. But, you know, if you're looking at the numbers, you know, in December, he's shooting. It's not pretty, that's for sure. So, I mean, it's something that you would like to see him turn around, and he needs to turn around if Minnesota wants to be successful, especially late in the year.
When you saw early on, Jimmy Butler was kind of nurturing his offense as the defense came along, and now I'm a Wiggins guy. I'm a really big fan of Andrew Wiggins. I still believe that he can be one of those players that, if he's developed the right way, he can be an all-star talent down the road. But now that the defense has come along, if you're playing with other stars, it's okay to have a couple bad nights, but when when there's a matchup where you can really kind of lick the chops and say, I'm really good against this team, I know I can score big numbers against this team. I'm looking at some of the games. This is one of the higher scoring opponents that he can face, like against Brooklyn. In two games last season, he averaged 29.5 points. Against LA, another game coming up, he averaged 37.8 points per game in four games against LA last year. So when you're playing the Nuggets, where you averaged over 28 points, when you're playing the Lakers, where you average over 37 points per game in four meetings against these teams, these are consistently he's being good in a lot of meetings against these teams. He's got to be able to step up and put up big numbers and play well against these teams so that when he's taking a backseat to Butler and to Teague and to Towns in other games, you're able to say, okay, he's got the defense to make him worth playing on the court, and then against these certain matchups, he's going to get up because he's got the confidence. When he's not doing that, then there's something between, for me, there's something between the ears that's the problem now, because now he's not taking advantage of a team that he should know that he can really feast against. And so for me, I think it's something between the ears, and that's daunting, because that's probably going to be a lot harder to fix.
Right, exactly. And the other thing that, you know, plays into that as well is the concerning factor of all of this is obviously, you know, before the year he agreed to sign that max deal that goes into effect next year. So, you know, when you see somebody that, you know, signs that kind of deal, you'd expect them to, you know, not take a step back really, like Wiggins has this year. So, you know, it is very concerning. And the other thing too, you know, I think it was a couple games ago, Jimmy Butler, you know, said after one of the games that when asked about, you know, the younger guys on the team and what they have to do to consistently play well, he basically said, you know, they need to show up. They need to play hard night in and night out. And I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, directed at Wiggins or if it's, you know, Wiggins Towns, whoever it's directed at. You know, that makes you think that maybe, you know, he is talking about Wiggins without actually, you know, dropping his name. So, you know, if that is the case, that's really concerning, because you want, especially a guy that's getting a max deal that goes into effect next year, like, you want him not only to be playing hard every night, but you want him to, you know, consistently do well and to play well on both ends of the floor. And, you know, it's not, for Wiggins, it's not just his shooting. I mean, he's, you know, one thing he's always talked about, you know, at going into every year and in every off season, or at every media day, I should say, is, you know, improving in aspects, you know, not just or outside of shooting, you know, whether that'd be defense, which he hasn't improved to some extent this year, but, you know, also rebounding and assists. And I mean, you look at his numbers, he's averaging 4 rebounds a game, which is decent, but that, you know, that's the same as last year, and he's averaging 1.7 assists a game, which is a career low for him. So, you know, it goes, you look at it, we're 32 games into the season so far. You know, people could argue that it is still early, but you look at it and 9 more games, we're halfway through the year and we're still seeing this from Wiggins. So, you know, it is something to kind of be worried about, and it is something that, you know, needs to improve as soon as possible. And, you know, the longer that, you know, it happens and the more consistently that he does struggle, I don't know what the next steps would be after that, but I mean, it's rough right now for Wiggins, that's for sure.
And then if you look to, and this kind of all feeds in together, because the conversation about Wiggins' struggles, my big takeaway from the night, along with the Jamal Crawford conversation, is if you have Jimmy Butler as your number one guy, that's fine. Jimmy Butler is a fantastic all-star level player, but he has never throughout his entire career average more than 3 3-point attempts per throughout a season. Throughout a season, he's never averaged more than 3 3-point attempts per game. And so you see, the one of the best things about the kind of the spreading out of the minutes that you've seen over the last couple of games, Jamal Crawford with 28 minutes in this one, he had 6 3-point shot attempts and made 4 of them. He was really the only guy spreading the floor. Jeff Teague had 6 3-point attempts, but only made 1 of them. Other than that, nobody else topped out at past 4. So Jamal Crawford playing more minutes has been absolutely essential, and that's kind of been the drum that really media everywhere has been banging about the Timberwolves, is that you need to have some of these bench guys play more minutes, because with Andrew Wiggins in the shooting slump, if you don't have Jamal Crawford hitting those four threes, you really don't have much spacing for the floor and for the offense in general. And so my biggest takeaway from this game was it's encouraging to see guys like Jamal Crawford pulling 28 minutes. Gorgui Dieng had 20 minutes. You're seeing the starters play less minutes, which is good just for the course of a long NBA season, but also because when you have a guy like Jamal Crawford out there more minutes, it's helping the floor spacing, because right now when Andrew Wiggins is ice cold, especially from deep, you don't see the spread of the floor much from anywhere else outside of Jamal Crawford.
Right, exactly. And if you take away Jamal Crawford, let's say he has an off night, Bielitsa is obviously out. Who else is a threat from three? And that's somewhat to your point, that's why they need Wiggins to improve his shooting and especially from beyond the arc. Jamal Crawford has been huge in these last two games, like you said, and without him, maybe the Wiggins struggles are maybe a little bit bigger of a deal. I mean, they're a decent sized deal right now, but maybe they get exploited a little bit more, and maybe teams kind of force the Wolves' hand and let forcing Wiggins to be able to hurt them. So, having Jamal, coming off the bench and playing, especially like he has the last couple nights, that's been huge for Minnesota. And, I think that the more you see Wiggins struggle, that's obviously gonna hurt Minnesota, because teams, are gonna basically just let him shoot the ball, especially if he shoots like he did last night, 3-for-12 from the field and 0-for-2 from deep. The other thing with Wiggins too is it almost, you hear about players who are struggling from the field and always saying that, a way to get out of a slump is to continue to shoot. Just, keep shooting your shot, keep shooting as much as you have. The thing in the last two games specifically is Wiggins has kind of shut down and not really shot from beyond the arc. I mean, he was 0-for-3 the other night against Portland. He was 0-for-2 tonight, or last night, I'm sorry. So it kind of seems like he's, that plays back to your point before of it being between the ears. It's definitely impacting him. And as much as he says that maybe it's, he's just working through things, it is impacting his game and the amount of shots and where his shots come from, which is, that's a big deal. So, the more that Wiggins struggles, the more important Jamal Crawford becomes. That's why also the Wolves need Bielitsa back, is because he is also another threat from three. So, it's a big issue right now, and Jamal has helped with that issue so far. But you gotta make sure that you're getting Wiggins back on track, and if you can continue to have Jamal even produce half as well as he has in the last couple games, that's great.
We're going to get to Mitch's love hate right after a quick break. Actually, let's do this. Before we get to your love, hey, Mitch, what would that be the top kind of takeaway from this game, is that Wiggins' struggles could be kind of have a lasting effect on the way the offense is run, or is it that the Timberwolves kind of survived in Denver before this road trip? What's the top takeaway from this Denver win?
I think when I look at this game, the biggest thing for me is, the way that the Wolves bounced back and, erasing a 14-point deficit on the road against a Western Conference opponent, divisional opponent. I think that's maybe the more important thing. The Wiggins thing has kind of been around for a while, and, people have kind of noticed it, but, it's becoming a bigger issue game by game. I don't necessarily think that, this game was the game that everyone's, like, all right, Wiggins needs to figure this out now. Obviously it doesn't help, but that's kind of built up over the last couple games. So when looking at this game, it was a nice win for Minnesota. Even it wasn't the prettiest of wins, like most wins I guess have been this year, but it was a win, and it was a win on the road, which you got to take those when you can get them, and any win really. But I said, I think the Wiggins thing is kind of built up over time. The numbers you had laid out earlier about Wiggins again in Denver and how well he's done against them in his career. And then you look at a game like he had last night, I think that that's you know, that raises some eyebrows, but I don't think that that's necessarily the biggest takeaway from the game. I think it was just a nice comeback win for Minnesota.
Yeah, and all that, the Wiggins problem is concerning, but you still have Towns with the 25-10 just pumping out double-doubles, and they are 19-13 and still the fourth team in the West. So all in all, you have enough talent to cover up some of those things, but at the same time, it is still a problem that's going to get discussed because he did sign that big contract and because he is kind of one of those young guys that this team has been looking to build around and add pieces around. So it's going to be a topic of conversation, but you still have plenty of talent, and this team is still in a good spot. Okay, so go ahead, give us your love-hate from this last week headed into the Christmas break.
All right, we're gonna start with hate, and it kind of goes back to our theme that, or I guess really the whole show that we've, and most of the show that we've talked about so far is just Andrew Wiggins. I got some stats from his his shooting struggles this year. Obviously, you know, he's shooting 42.6% from the field, which is a career low. He's shooting 29% from three, which is also a career low. And another thing that I was kind of surprised when I saw this is he's shooting 63% from the line, which is not great. I mean, he hasn't been a great great free throw shooter for his whole career so far, but he's kind of been in the low to mid 70s, which, you know, obviously isn't, you'd like to see that improve, but 63% from the free throw line this year is not good for him. And that, you know, that kind of just feeds back into all the, you know, the shooting issues that he's had so far. But like I mentioned earlier too, you know, the thing with Wiggins is he always talks about improving his game outside of shooting, and, you know, his numbers really haven't improved all that much. You know, when you look at the rebounding numbers and assist numbers that I mentioned before. So, you know, Wiggins, in order for this team to you know, be a good team and to maybe even, you know, win a playoff series if they make the playoffs, or when, I guess now it's necessarily when they make the playoffs, but, you know, for them to do well in the playoffs and to put themselves in the chance to win a series, you know, Wiggins needs to figure things out. And I understand that, you know, it's not even halfway through the regular season yet. We still have some time to figure things out. But, you know, this is an issue that Minnesota needs to deal with, and Wiggins specifically needs to deal with this. So, you know, the way that Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns have been playing, it masks over it for now. But, you know, if they can't continue that level of play, you know, Wiggins needs to fill in that void, and he needs to improve his game. So it'll definitely be something to look forward to as we go ahead here in the regular season. The thing I love, you know, I really, really like, and I'm impressed with the way that Minnesota has handled the West this year, and, you know, even in the division in itself. You know, against the Western Conference this year, Minnesota 16-6. You know, obviously coming into this year, everyone was talking about how tough the West is. You know, OKC, you know, obviously you have Houston and Golden State up on top the West. You know, Minnesota's handled everything pretty well, I think. You know, they're 19-13, which, you know, that obviously compared to the last few years, that's, you know, that they're on track to finish with a nice record at the end of the season. So, you know, the way that they played against the West is encouraging. Obviously coming down the stretch of the season and into the playoffs, that's all that matters. Until a team gets to the finals. But you even look at, you know, the Northwest Division, which Minnesota's the top of, you know, they, which includes Portland, OKC, Denver, Utah, you know, all quality teams. You know, Denver, or Utah, excuse me, is kind of hitting a rough patch. OKC is not necessarily there yet, but they're 6-1 against those opponents. And, you know, Minnesota has handled business where they need to. You know, it's just kind of the West that they've struggled with so far. But you know, I like the way that they've handled what many view as a tough Western Conference. That's definitely a positive sign.
Absolutely. And you look at just the talent in the West, and obviously fresh off the heels of a Lakers upset win over Houston, there's good teams and bad teams, as there are every year. And I think the difference this year is that there's just so much raw talent, so many young guys who are maybe performing at a higher level than people anticipated, that it really is, while you have the staple teams that are really good, the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs, there are any given night one of these teams can win and pull kind of a upset victory over another team. And so to play that well against the Western Conference, like you're saying, there is an impressiveness to it just because of the things that Western Conference teams do on a nightly basis.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, OKC is, you know, they haven't played the way that many, you know, expected them to play yet. You know, you figure that they're going to end up figuring things out as the season progresses, as is every other team in, you know, in the NBA. But, you know, those two wins, you know, early in the season against OKC, you know, those were big wins. And, you know, for that's something that Minnesota can look back at. And let's say they even, you know, they play OKC in, you know, in the playoffs, or they meet OKC in the playoffs. That's, you know, which would be a great series, by the way. But, you know, that's encouraging that they've played well, and, you know, that they've handled really everything when it comes to OKC. They've had them down to the wire. They've, you know, they've won a couple games against them. So, you know, the one thing, too, that, you know, Dane Moore wrote in the game recap last night, you know, last year against the West, you know, the Wolves were 0-3 against the Pelicans, 1-3 against the Trailblazers, 1-3 against the Thunder, and they went 500 against the Nuggets. You know, this season they have winning records against all of those teams. They're 2-0 against the Pelicans, 1-0 against the Trailblazers, you know, 2-1 against the Thunder, and 1-0 against the Nuggets. So that turnaround in itself is, you know, is quite impressive. And, you know, that's something that Minnesota can look back on, and as they, you know, move on through the season, that's a positive sign that you can take out of things, even if they are struggling against the East. Because, you know, the way that, you know, the Western Conference is set up right now and the way that Minnesota lies within it, you know, they're bound to, they're not going to get a top two seed or even maybe even three seed with San Antonio hanging around there. But, you know, they could very well get a, you know, 4 or 5 seed, and, you know, they're going to end up playing a team like, say, OKC or somebody that's around their talent. And, you know, they have handled those teams really well this year. And, you know, that's definitely a great sign for Minnesota, and, you know, hopefully they can continue that as the regular season progresses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All encouraging stuff from the Timberwolves. And that should do it for us and for our show here. Thanks again, Mitch, for coming on a Thursday late in the week. Always fun to do a show with you. And batting a little bit of a cleanup here this week, but hey, you slid into the role nicely.
Hey, I'm happy to join you whenever I can, and I'm just glad it worked out this week.
That's what we like to hear. He's Mitch, I'm Colton, and this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast.